Our God is a God of grace and mercy, and all I can say is don't you dare forget it. Because His love for His people is far beyond anything we could conceive. Today I kind of had a double-edged sword going on. Cuts on both sides, you know. I want to take you to Matthew, so come with me to Matthew, chapter 4. Actually, I'm sorry, chapter 3, not 4, chapter 3. I see in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is preaching in the desert of Judea, and he's really crying out for them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, or the kingdom is near. And he's really preparing the way to make straight a path for the Lord. So, if you look at verse 7, it kind of shows you the ministry of Elijah. Because again, if you understand the word and the prophetic impact of John the Baptist, it's really the spirit of Elijah coming in to wake up the nation. Okay. Jackie, would you turn that switch on over there? Ran a wall, please. Thank you. Verse 7 says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." Verse 10, "The axe is already to the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Verse 11, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And with fire. What does fire do? Burns.
Purifies.
Gets rid of whatever needs to be eliminated. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that the fire of God is about to come into the body of Christ to such a degree that it's going to burn the fakes. You know what I'm talking about, the fakes? I'm talking about those that have their own agenda. They refuse to change their minds, which is what repentance is all about. And they're on a quest to fill their pockets and to satisfy their lust. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the status quo of the church today. I'm talking about people with an agenda to formulate what they think is right and be happy with their pockets full of dough and the prestige that goes with it. It is no different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees of our Lord's day. They had their own commission. They had a great temple. It was awesome. It had beauty. It had gold. It had everything that you could conceive. And they were well satisfied. And it had become an idol for them. They worshipped their positions. They worshipped their positions. They worshipped whatever was the status quo. And walked and abused those that had very little. The same goes on today. It's not any different. Verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Verse 12 is kind of cool. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. What is that saying? That means God's plan has not changed. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus in verse 24 speaking. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? 28. An enemy did this, he replied. And the servant asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? Verse 29 is important. No, was the response. Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Collect the weeds. Tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. Verse 31 tells them about another one. But I want you to go and look at verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. And his disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Do you have the Son of Man and the Holy Ghost inside of you? Yes. So you are going around by the Holy Ghost sowing good seed, correct? Verse 38, The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. Are you sons of the kingdom under construction?
Yes.
Yes. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. Oh! The weeds are the sons of who?
The evil one.
Huh. Kind of cool, huh? Kind of clear and simple. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvester is the end of the age. The harvest is the end of
the age.
Where are we now?
The end of the age.
The end of the age. And the harvesters are angels. Cool. So it's not your job to pull up the weeds. It's not my job to expose the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's my job to open your eyes. It's my job to let you see that some bear good fruit and are conscious with what they have to carry and walk with the Lord. And obey what the Lord commands them to do. But it is not my job to go around and pull out the weeds. It is, however, my job if the Holy Spirit says to me, Kim, I want you to pray for angels to go to work on my behalf. What am I saying? There are times the Lord will tell you to pray, to ask the Holy Spirit, to send some angels on the job. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are inheriting salvation. I see many Christians pushing and shoving and pointing at their neighbor. It's not your job. Even Jesus was telling them, wake up. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Is that clear? The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Whoa! It's not, we're up and out of here. It's the weeds that are going for a ride. And they're out first, not you and me. What is he going to do with us? He's going to draw us and put us in his barn. Amen? Watch. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. I mean, that's twice he talks about the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom. That's in the church. The fakes will be exposed. It's not your job to expose them. It is, however, your job to intercede and to change your mind if you need to. Because that's what repentance is all about. The warning from the spirit of Elijah is to wake you up, not to be deceived. I'll give you a little story. There's a person that I knew. And for a lot of years, had an agenda, supposedly a Holy Ghost agenda. And they wanted to plant seed. And you can hear planting seeds all over the networks, Christian networks. And they gave money under the wrong spirit, causing hardship indirectly to others because of their lack of discernment. I'm not against people giving money to different ministries, but pray before you do it. Ask the Holy Spirit, where does my financial aid go? If you are giving it to the Sadducees, hear me, and the Pharisees, what kind of harvest are you going to get? Huh? Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Okay? But the Lord is in charge. He doesn't say we're going to throw them away. Okay? Verse 42. They will be thrown. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Your future is for you to shine and radiate the glory of God. Anybody remember what happened to Jesus when he was on the mountain? He radiated the light of the Father. How? Because it was present within him. Inside of each and every one of you, the Holy Spirit is ready to radiate. Hear me? He's ready to radiate out of you. Are you ready to start radiating His light? Well, here's what's going to happen when you start radiating light. You'll be walking, and your shadow will touch somebody in Walmart, and they'll fall to the floor, and they'll be totally healed. You'll go visit somebody, and instead of them going to the hospital in the ambulance drivers will be there, and your shadow will touch that person, and they'll walk out of the gurney. Let me ask you something. Do you know any nurses and doctors and technicians that would like to be out of a job tomorrow? I'll back this up to 1988, October 31. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about him. I'm in Northampton. Route 5. I'm there because a pastor friend of mine has called me in the afternoon and he says, Kim, I want you to come tonight, please. I want you to meet a man from Kansas City, Missouri. And I believe you need to be here. So I prayed and I went. John Paul Jackson was there for the first time in New England. And he happened to prophesy over me. But that's not my subject matter. The subject matter is, when he landed at the air base in Connecticut, Hartford, Bradley, the Lord gave him a vision. The vision was that Interstate 91 was completely blocked. It was blocked with ambulances of all types. Everywhere on the highway was totally blocked, all the way up to Amherst. The stadium in Amherst was full of Christians celebrating Christ. And the people that were in the ambulances had landed in Bradley and were being brought to the services for the saints to lay hands on them to set them free. Are you ready to start radiating the light of Christ? The persecution against you will be just as it was with our Savior Jesus Christ and as it was with Peter. The hatred, the yelling, the screaming, and all that goes with it will be there, because the chaff will have its way. The Pharisees and the Sadducees in the time of our Lord became an irritation where he couldn't even enter Jerusalem in daylight. Are you hearing me? Are you listening and reading between the lines of what I'm saying? If you think you're ready for that kind of persecution and love them, yeah, you're going to have to love the tares. You're going to have to love those that are unlovely. You're going to have to intercede and pray for them that they may be what? Saved. Saved and changed. Are you ready for that job? Or are you going to get angry because you're going in the wrong direction? Or thinking the wrong way? Or acting the wrong way? Or reacting the wrong way? See, God's going to have to clean us up first. Because if we're judgmental and critical, what do you think he's going to be able to be doing with us? He's not going to be able to do anything with us. and the only one that can clean me up is him. That's why that baptism of fire is needed. I cannot stay the way I am in order for me to be completed in him. And I can't change me. I tried. And boy, I'll tell you, I found stubborn streaks in me that I would not tell you about, because it's none of your business. But it is your job to intercede for me. So you do have a job. How many have got a few little stubborn streaks in them? Thank you. We'll be praying for you too. Why? Because if you pray for one another, we will be... Try it again. If we pray for one another, we will be healed. That's the whole ordeal. That's the body of Christ. If we pray for me, myself, and I got news for you. You're in trouble already. Because if you're so focused on yourself, guess who you're worshiping? Woohoo! I got three wonderful idols that I can introduce you to. Me, myself, and I. They're wonderful idols. They'll fit on your mantelpiece. You can worship all day long. But I got news for you. Those angels will find you out. Because God's not stupid. If you've got anger in your heart against somebody, pray for them. Intercede for them. Take on their sin. If you've seen something they're doing wrong, don't accuse them. Go to your closet and say, God, I saw that one sleeping with so-and-so, and it wasn't God. So I will tell you, Lord, would you please forgive them and wash them clean so that they'll be able to see straight? Amen? Jesus with the woman at the well. Let's face it. She wasn't perfect. And Jesus went out of his way to go talk to her. To set her free. 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasures hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearl. Or fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that has let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in a basket, but threw the bad ones away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. Did you hear? The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storehouse new treasures as well as old. I'm giving you that because I believe that we need to be diligent. That vision that John Paul had, in fact, those of you who don't know anything about John Paul, he was in his mother's womb 11 months. I know that poor lady. 2 extra months. But the word to her mother, to his mother, was, he will be an 11th hour prophet. You didn't know that? About time I tell you, huh? He will be an 11th hour prophet, meaning 1 hour to go before bingo. The end of the age will be completed. And the kingdom will be established. Every side street in the city, you couldn't manage to get on the highway. That was his description to us.
They were all heading for the stadium?
That's right. That was 1988. I've got enough ammunition in me to make your hair curl. And I'm not advertising it about me. I'm advertising about the Most High God who loves us enough to say there's a day coming where freedom will be a reality. Freedom from sickness, freedom from disease. But the only thing is, the unbelief has to go. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. Father, you're the only one that can shape their tree so that they can come to life for your glory. Whatever unbelief that's still in them, shake it out of them, Lord. Whatever has to happen for them to see how they need to cry out for more grace and more mercy, let it be. Let it be a quick work, Lord. Because many are called, but few are chosen. It only takes 12 to change an entire country. And then they were sent out. Did you think about that? Only 12. There were thousands that Jesus fed. And when he told them about the body and blood, they all walked away. And Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, where are you guys going? Why aren't you leaving? And Peter had a word. Where do you expect us to go? You have the words of eternal life. Why do you think you're here? Who called you? Who put it in your heart to be here tonight? It's all Linda's fault. She prayed for everybody. I'm teasing you. Celebrate him. Celebrate him. The one that will send his angels is him. He will have his way, and those that have been an irritation to you, he will deal with them. Amen? It's not your job. Even if both legs are in tears and you can see them blossoming, rejoice. God's got his angels on the job, and the Holy Spirit, by our Savior Jesus Christ, will clean up everything that he needs to clean up. Rejoice, give thanks, and celebrate each other. With big hugs. Amen? Amen.